Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Sports in the Mitten, powered by Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for FanRag Sports, and today we are going to get into the Michigan-Penn State preview. I'll talk about Michigan State-Indiana a little bit on Friday, and of course, college basketball season right around the corner, so we'll be getting into that too, Wolverines and Spartans basketball, but today we'll focus on Michigan versus Penn State. We'll get into some statistical analysis, throw some stats at you guys with the wide receivers. We talked a lot about Saquon Barkley. We talked a lot about Trace McSorley, but there are far more weapons than just those two on this Penn State offense. So we'll take a look at Penn State's schedule as well. And people are starting to pour in, so I'm going to open up the chat room here and then tweet the live link. So pardon me for a second. Aaron Weiss, hey brother, hey Aaron, how's it going? Mike Zabrowski, hey Adam, glad I could make this one. Yeah, glad you could too, Mike. Eric313, what's going on, Adam? Hey Eric, how you doing? MIC Book, peace, Adam. What's going on, MIC Book? Just another day, guys, and real quick, if you're a baseball fan like I am, Cubs, chances of repeat are not happening. I'm a Dodgers fan right now, and I like several teams for several reasons. I've always been a Dodgers fan. Oral Hershiser was one of my all-time favorite pitchers. The young Mike Piazza, I mean, we could go on and on. Rich Hill from Michigan is there. And, of course, Clayton Kershaw and Yasiel Puig. A lot to like. I think if you're a baseball fan, you like certain players, and the Dodgers have had some guys. Jock Peterson actually played with the Great Lakes Loons up in Midland. They're a low-A affiliate of the Dodgers. And Jock's had, you know, he's done well there for about, I think, 3 years now. This is his third season. So, anyway, it looks like the Cubs, chances of repeat are over. And tonight's Keuchel for the Astros or 2-2 with the Yankees. And then it's JV. And I figured that we would see JV in Game 6. So, with a chance to close that out, win that series 4-2 if Keuchel and Verlander do what they did in the beginning of the series and help the Astros get up 2-0. So anyway, that's the baseball talk today. Shane Majewski says, hopefully you don't get quarterback questions, LOL. Put that topic to bed, man. Guys, yesterday with my article on FanRag Sports, check that out. I tweeted it from my Twitter, at AdamBiggers81, at FanRag_U, FanRagSports.com. Basically, I feel like Jim Harbaugh has been pretty explicit. And, you know, there's people want to interpret that, you know, okay, there's room for... there's wiggle room. I think he's been pretty explicit. John O'Korn is the quarterback. And I'll start with a question real quick and get into these last couple comments. Aaron Weiss says, I would love to see Mays uniforms this weekend, help fight the whiteout. John is being asked to be a game manager, Eric313. And that's what he is, Eric. And I'll get to this question. This one was off Twitter. And actually, let me tweet this while I'm at it. And while we're waiting, guys, if you want the audio-only version, you can find that on iTunes. You can find that on Blog Talk Radio, the FanRag Sports channel on Blog Talk Radio. And you can also find it on Google Play. Hold on here. All right, the first question I want to start off, this one's from Twitter. And this one comes from Kurt at Raider2402. He says, so if we lose again, do you think we should stick with a QB that is leaving or get someone that might start playing time in real games? Well, if Michigan loses, guys, this weekend, which I think there's a very good chance, and I know a lot of you out there are waiting to, you can't wait to tell me if and when I'm wrong if Michigan wins this game, and I'm bracing myself for it. So, if Michigan does lose this game, though, they're still 5-2. Maybe not drop out of the top 25. And at the same time, it's a road loss to the number 2 ranked team in the nation. I don't think that the season's over. I don't think Michigan goes, oh, okay, well, we're done here. I mean, guys last night, I'll say this, you know, Mason Cole, Tyree Kennel, who else did we talk to? Khalid Hudson. Those guys, Chase Winovich, they realize what's on the line here. You can't win the Big Ten. They figure, okay, one loss, you know, that might be it. You can't win the Big Ten with two losses. They know that their chances will be severely diminished if that happens. But at the same time, Penn State's got to go through a grinder. Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, they're really getting into the you know, powerful part of their schedule. So I do think if Michigan loses 5-2, you don't go away from John O'Korn unless he was just absolutely horrible. But at the same time, he's 3-2 this season if you count Purdue as a starter, still a winning record as a starter, and if you count the Indiana start last year, I mean, John is 3-1 overall with, you know, asterisk Purdue game. He didn't start it, but basically was a starter. He's 3-1 as a starter at Michigan. So if he loses this weekend, he's 3-2. So he's still above 500, and he's still, in my mind, and I believe Jim Harbaugh made it clear yesterday during the conference call and on Monday during the press conference, there will not be a switch to Brandon Peters. I know a lot of people, there are even people who are calling for Brandon to start against Penn State, which makes absolutely no sense to me. So thanks, Kurt, for that question. Hopefully I answered that. Alex Bricker and Shane had a couple comments on there, but I believe we'll probably get into those right here. So okay, Jeremy Turner's MIC book. Why so many doubts about the game? Am I the only one who thinks Michigan has more than a chance to win? Well, MIC book, I mean, nothing's a guarantee in college football, right? I mean, and even the guys, some of the Michigan players were talking about, look what we just saw happen with, you know, ranked teams losing, Syracuse, Washington State. So, yes, anything can happen. But at the beginning of the year, I looked at this game. It was, I was assuming everything was going to go as anticipated, right? Smoother offense. Wilton Spate doing a good job at quarterback. I mean, obviously, he's not the starter. He's injured. I saw him walk out of Shen Beckler yesterday during availability. I didn't see any type of brace or anything like that on his neck, but he has worn one. But the season just hasn't gone as anticipated. And even if it had up to this point, I still looked at the Penn State game because I knew Penn State was going to be good. Figured it was going to be a night game. And, I mean, they announced that a long time ago as well. So you knew that this was going to be a big game regardless. So even in my mind, a 6-0 Michigan team going in there with things working well for it, and I knew this defense was going to be good, I still thought that Penn State had a really good chance because Penn State was going to be good and was at home and at night. So, but now if you factor in, Michigan has really no offense to speak of. And I've used this exact term. I mean, there are little shreds there that are capable of holding on because the defense is keeping these games within reach. But there's not an offense that's going to go out and jump ahead. It's not an offense that's even really built for a comeback. I mean, there's not a lot of firepower on this offense, and right now it's just manage the ball, and that's about it. And I think, you know, if they have to, they're going to just run the ball as much as possible. I mean, they have confidence in John O'Korn. I think John O'Korn can be a good quarterback. I expected higher level of play from him than this. But again, it's not all quarterback problems. There's still issues on the offensive line. There's still issues with route running. And blocking by wide receivers. John cited, he said that those aspects were a lot better against Indiana. So, I mean, to say no chance, and yeah, I have said no chance, but not meaning 0.00, it's a very slim chance. And even if Michigan was going in there with a good offense, I wouldn't be confident in saying that, you know, the Wolverines would come out winning. Given the circumstances right now, I mean, I just don't see Michigan winning. And like I said, I know a lot of you guys out there can't wait to tell me when and if I'm wrong, so go ahead. I could take it. I've been telling you for weeks that it wasn't going to happen, so I can take the rebuttals. Jeremy Turner says, no one's giving us a chance. Jeremy also says, I think we win by 3. Aaron Wise, I'm with you, MIC. I think we have a solid chance. I said 24-17. Mike Zabrowski says, I am confident for a victory. I said this 2 weeks ago after our loss that we will win. And we will be back in the top 10. That being said, this is a tough task. I still had those same feelings, though. Mike, yeah, you've been a believer. Lee Demon, hey, it's Biggers. Yo, Lee Demon, where you been? Eric 313, I really like the question you asked, O'Korn. I think the coaching staff has given John limitations with the offense. Which question are you referring to, Eric? And yesterday, Jim Harbaugh on the conference call, I don't know if he thought I was trying to dig, or if you listen to it, it's on the Big Ten site. Just go to Google like Big Ten Weekly audio, and you can listen to the coach's call. And Evidently, I was asking very open-ended questions, and I asked him what's keeping John at quarterback, and I think that he thought that I was trying to come in from a negative angle. My angle with John O'Korn, and you know, someone has said, well, you agree with Harbaugh. I agree with logic. Harbaugh happens to be logical when it comes to this point. So when it came to Spate, I didn't budge on that. And it wasn't because Harbaugh, I've been saying Spate, Spate, Spate for a long, long time. Anybody who's read me or listened to the podcast over the years knows that. So with John O'Korn, and I wrote this yesterday, he's given the keys to John O'Korn. John was number two for a reason. He is the quarterback who gives them the best chance to win. So that was the angle I was going at. But listen to that call. Harbaugh did get a little bit feisty, because he will call out someone if he feels like you're trying to be divisive or unnecessarily negative. He also told me that he was not aware. He didn't like that I assumed, because I said, I assume that you're aware of the criticism of John O'Korn. And he quickly corrected me and said he was not aware of that criticism of John O'Korn. I have to believe that he is, but it is what it is. So Eric313 says, Higdon has fire in his soul. He's going to run the ball like a madman. Yeah, we talked about this the other day with Karan. If Karan goes in there with the attitude like, hey, you know, Saquon's Saquon. Everybody knows that. But if Karan goes in there with the attitude like, hey, I'm a really good running back too, I think Michigan, I mean, 25 carries for 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, a touchdown in overtime. That was a broken play. Mason Cole talked a lot about, well, I asked him, and Mason kind of detailed a lot about it. I said, does it give you guys comfort to know, you know, if, you know, maybe there's an assignment missed up front, or, you know, that you have a running back who can make up for it? And he's like, well, we're not going in the huddle thinking, hey, we're going to mess up this play, but we have a guy who can make up it. We had a good laugh. Those interviews are all on my YouTube channel, guys. So like, subscribe, share. There's Mason Cole. I did not get Kakoa last night. Didn't get over there in time. And I did not get Karan. I didn't get over there in time. But I did get all of Chase Winovich, most of Mason Cole, and Khalid Cutson, Tyreek Hill. Mike Zabrowski says, Chase is so much fun watching him being interviewed. He kills me. LOL. Hell of a player. Hell of a personality. Full package. Yeah, Chase has a personality. Chase is a unique guy. I will say that. Hey guys, watch the interviews. Mike made a good point. If you haven't seen, especially these past two interviews, and I have them both on my YouTube channel, Chase Winovich has been very, it's the Chase Winovich show when he comes out. So, Elite Demon says, it's going to be a war. Penn State has not even faced the top 50 defense yet, and the best offense they have played is Indiana, which isn't good. Well, I mean, Indiana's offense was good enough to score 20 against Michigan and send it to overtime, so Elite Demon, I'd kind of peel back a little bit on Indiana's offense isn't good. It was number 10 pace of play. It's like number 3 total offense in the Big Ten, 400 yards per game. That was a decent offense. Aaron Weiss says Indiana hurt themselves a lot during the game. That is true. Jeremy Turner, Adam, I know Michigan wants to score every time on offense, but do you think Michigan tries to at least try to get into field goal range to put up as many points as possible? I mean, points are going to be the object. They want to win games. Jim Harbaugh doesn't care if they have to kick 10 field goals to win a game and win 30-29. He doesn't care. The only thing that he cares about is leaving Penn State 6-1, and I guarantee you that. If the defense has to score 5 touchdowns, I mean, you know, and of course, you know, I'm being facetious here, but you guys get it. What at any cost, he doesn't care. They really don't. I don't think Michigan cares. I mean, I asked John O'Korn, I mean, the feedback that he gets from Tim Drevno, Pep Hamilton, they're not even really talking about stats. It's execute the play, move the ball, okay, get his field goal range, get his touchdown, whatever, get points. That is the goal. So, I mean, if they can't score touchdowns, Jeremy, with a kicker like Quinn Nordine, that's a hell of a weapon. Field goal range is a little, you know, 3 to 8, 9 yards. You know, you think of a good field goal kicker, you know, tack on 3, 5, 7, 9 yards. Quinn Nordine's got some range. He can I mean, he's already proven it. Let me see, what else do I have? Elite Demon, every team they played so far is below 500 except for Iowa. I mean, yeah. It's not, I mean, but when Michigan was playing Indiana, what were your thoughts? But then if you look at Penn State and Indiana, and then all of a sudden Indiana sucks in that light. I mean, I just don't get it. You have to, I'm about logically, Demon, you know that. You watch this show a lot. I mean, you're comparing apples and oranges here right now. Shane Majewski says, their only chance is playing trestle ball. Real question is, will this team start to divide if the offense can't help out the defense? They're pretty close, and I mean, I think, Shane, to answer your question, I don't see divide. I mean, I mentioned this the other day. I could see maybe, they even said there's no frustration a couple weeks ago. I asked Jim Harbaugh about this. I mean, they are a close team, and I do think in the back of the offensive players' minds, they know that they're pretty lucky to have a defense like this. So, I mean, I can't see anything splitting unless, you know, they just start losing. You know, winning obviously keeps them together. Losing kind of creates a little bit of a rift there. So, I don't know. That's hard to say. I mean, I can't see it. These guys really are pretty close. You can tell by the way that they interact with each other and talk about each other. And that's been kind of the theme under Jim Harbaugh. I do feel like they're a closer team under Jim Harbaugh. The Indiana offense is ranked 80th overall. That's some logic for you. Okay, well, what separates, you know, if we're talking about 20 yards separates the top-ranked team from the 50th-ranked team, I'm looking at pace of play, 10th in the nation, 400 yards per game. Those are good statistics. Those are good base points as far as Indiana has a good offense. So, I mean, you can't tell me that Simi Cobb is not a really good receiver. You can't tell me that Morgan Ellison is not a really good running back. Elite Demon, come on. And he's a true freshman, too. So, Harbaugh the GOAT says Indiana game shouldn't have even went to OT. They were down 10 with like 6 minutes to go. And, yeah, that's another thing, too. I mean, Indiana was the first team to score any points against Michigan in the fourth quarter. All right, guys, I'm going to take a break from the comments real quick and just cite out, like I've been mentioning, it's more than just Saquon Barkley. It's more than just Trace McSorley at Penn State. There's a lot of wide receivers. Having a threat like Barkley, who could be a wide receiver, who could be a receiving option out of the backfield, obviously helps. But, I mean, Trace McSorley can chuck the ball. And Deshaun Hamilton's pretty good. Juwan Johnson's pretty good. Juwan Johnson was just absolutely huge on that game-winning drive at Iowa. And I mistakenly said, I remember, this has been bothering me. I like hold on to little things like this sometimes. That Trace had a 12-yard rushing touchdown. He had a 12-yard rush during that. Juwan Johnson had the game-winning touchdown. But Trace kept that going with a 12-yard rush. He scrambled. He's finding Juwan all over the field. And so Deshaun Hamilton and Juwan Johnson, I think, are the two main wide receivers to watch out for. Of course, Mike Gesicki. And split-wise, real quick, this is what Deshaun's done against Michigan. Well, I just had it up. It's really the only guy, I think, I mean, has, you know, a body of work, I guess to say, against Michigan. And they're not crazy numbers. Nine catches for 74 yards, 8.2 per catch, and a touchdown. So, I mean, those aren't bad numbers. But, again, those are his career numbers, and that's playing Michigan, what, three times? So, Mike Gesicki, obviously one of the better tight ends in college football, certainly one of the best tight ends in the Big Ten, so you have to watch out for him. I think matchup-wise, Kalik will kind of help out. I think it'll be primarily Devin and Kalik, and I think that Devin and Kalik probably are going to have to help out Mike Gesicki too. Those are the two main offensive threats, I guess, when I'm looking at matchups. And specifically with like Kalik and Devin, because I think those are going to be key right there. I think those are going to be really important. DeAndre Hopkins hasn't had a bad year either. And Saeed Blacknell, guys, I mean, he's a guy who I don't think who really gets talked a lot about, and he should. And, I mean, Penn State's loaded at wide receiver. I really don't know what else to say other than, you know, for the people who thought Penn State wasn't going to be good this year, well, I think you're being proven wrong. And we'll go through their schedule real quick. I'll get back to the comments. Between the top offense and Indiana's 300-plus yards, Lee Demon says. So there's an offense averaging 700 yards per game. Who is that? I mean, it's a gimmick. Lee, you're just keep digging and digging and digging, man. 400 yards per game is a very potent offense. And we're talking about Big Ten offense. You know, if it's some... I don't care who else is doing it. I mean, there's schools that put up gaudy numbers all the time. Southwest, Northern Kentucky State, you know, scoring 80 points per game. I mean, come on, man. If you don't think Indiana was a good offense, you don't know college football, Lee Demon. I hate to say it. So, stop why I'm still way ahead. It is, Lee Demon. Prior to Michigan, it was at 400 yards per game. Eric 313, secondary will need to play a big factor in run support. And they are at 3, Oklahoma State. Okay, Lee Demon, do you want to stay in here or do you want to argue with me? Because you're being especially annoying right now. I know the stats. I looked at them. I read them before I write them. So thank you. Eric 313, it's one of those days, guys. I'm sorry. Especially when Trey scrambles out of the pocket, Eric 313. As far as his, like, the danger factor, I mean, Trace is an exciting quarterback to watch. And again, guys, I use the Big Ten championship game as a point of reference all the time, because that was Trace McSorley making a lot out of nothing. I mean, that was the Trace McSorley show. I mean, Blacknell had some good catches. Deshaun Hamilton was huge in that. I mean, Saquon was big, but I mean, what I was really impressed was Trace McSorley's ability to just get the hell out of there and get the ball downfield. And he does that really well. Mike Zabrowski says, Indiana also played Ohio, Michigan and Penn State. Those stats are skewed, Lee Demon. Yeah, I mean, sorry, I'm not trying to pile on Lee Demon today, but Lee Demon, you got to come better than that, man. I think I know a little bit what I'm talking about, so. Harbaugh the GOAT says, none of their wide receivers scare me. Gesicki does, though. Well, I mean, I think you got to respect the wide receivers. Mike Gesicki would scare me, too. I mean, he's I don't know another word to use for him other than he's really good. I was impressed with Gesicki last year, too. The way Gesicki, what I noticed about him, especially against Wisconsin, and I know this, you know, an old game, but the way he got off blocks and the way he can get down, he's just really quick. I mean, it's like... I can't say that I've seen many tight ends like have that glide to them. And Mike Gesicki just had that, like, a glide, I mean, against Wisconsin. So we'll see Saturday, of course. That's going to be – it's a totally different game. This is a new year. A lot of people want to talk about, well, Michigan beat them 49-10 last year. And, I mean, none of that really matters in the grand scheme of things. So Darkman 1212 says Hamilton is a solid wide receiver for Penn State. Yes, he is. So is Tompkins. So is Juwan Johnson. So is Saeed Blacknell. They have really good wide receivers. Robert C. said, Aaron Wise definitely isn't the same Penn State team that we faced last year. Still have to give him credit. MIC Book says Michigan D-line versus Penn State O-line is a key matchup to watch for. Who wins that battle? And MIC Book, that's a really good question because, I mean, there's nothing about Penn State's offensive line that immediately jumps out at me. When you talk about Michigan's offensive line, everything jumps out. I mean, literally. Jumps out. So yeah, Penn State's offensive line will have that. That's a key matchup as well. And how is that going to influence their use of Saquon? You know, is it going to be quick bubble screens? I think Wes Weber's made those kind of points. I think Mike Zabrowski's made those kind of points too. I mean, against this kind of D line, or what kind of offense is Penn State going to throw? I mean, if your O line can't protect McSorley for more than 2 seconds, well, he's not dropping back for a pass that takes 3 to 4 seconds, you know, why he waits for his receiver to get downfield, that's not going to happen. So, yeah, I mean, that's a great question. Leoism says, last, but I'm here. How's it going, Leoism? We're getting toward the end of the show. Jeremy Turner says, O-line weakest position for Penn State or Michigan, or both. Darkman 1212 says, but priority number one should be stopping Barkley. I think that is, Darkman. Lee Demon says, I'm not even going to read that. Eric 313 says, I think Michigan will come out with a victory. Marcel Woods, you think McSorley could be accurate enough to beat press man-to-man? Yes, I do. Shane Majewski says, screen game with Barkley is scary, especially if they happen to get it matched up with McCray. And that's a mismatch, yes. Leo is a hold on, guys. These comments are flying. You guys are typing fast today. Despite the presence of Saquon Barkley, Penn State is just 66th nationally in rushing offense. Michigan 49th against stronger schedule. That's a good stat. Mike Torres, how do you see UM's cornerbacks matching up with Penn State's wide receivers? It'll be a good matchup. This is going to be a game for a lot of defensive players, Mike, that is going to show, are you the real deal or right now, or do you still need a little bit more time? And with true freshmen, you know, there are certain guys I feel like that are, you just can't deny. And Rashawn Gary was one of those guys last year. I think DPJ is going to be one. Tariq Black, but LaVert Hill. And he's not a true freshman, but he's a first-year starter. So, I mean, with young players, you know, I think there's certain guys that you just look at and you know. And LaVert Hill is a can't deny type of talent. So Tyree Kennell was saying that he sees a little bit of Jordan Lewis in him. And, you know, Tyree played with Jordan. So that's high praise. That's high praise, you know. Mike Zabrowski says, realists give other teams credit where it's due. PSU is a great team. Every team is beatable. Michigan is a great team. More than capable of beating Penn State. Ball control and time possession will be crucial. I agree, Mike. Kyle Boer says, is Michigan going to be able to run the ball with 8 or 9 in the box? Well, that is the big question. And, Kyle, we saw improved blocking against Indiana. I mean, we could say that. And a lot of it, I mean, improv-wise, Caron Higdon. I mean, you have to give Caron Higdon a lot of credit, too. And they're still relying on that left side of the line. I mean, the right side did improve against Indiana, but make no mistake, it's still, you know, running the ball is going to follow the left side of that offensive line. Shane Majewski says, you think they should play more zone to avoid mismatches on Barkley, especially in the red zone? That is a... I mean, I almost think you want someone glued to Barkley at all times. So, I mean, give zone, or implying giving, but, you know, spacing out a little bit of, I don't know. I don't know about that one, Shane. Kyle Boer says, Juwan Bushel-Beattie helps in the run blocking game. He does. I mean, Juwan's a good blocker. He's had his, you know, the right tackle position as a whole is, you know, I mean, Nolan had issues there. Jalen's had issues there. I mean, John Runyon, you know, maybe I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's Jalen for the rest of the year. But, I mean, there were three guys right there battling for that spot. And I had to believe that one of them was going to end up being really good because, we've seen, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm expecting a little too much out of the offensive line. But, I mean, the offensive line right now, and this is kind of off topic, is if we, you know, season ends, offensive line still an issue throughout the rest of the year, then I think it's fair to start questioning offensive line development because if there is one position where there's been a drop-off and it's noticeable and it's affecting all kinds of areas, it's affecting the wide receivers, it's affecting quarterbacks, it is the offensive line. There has been a drop-off this year. A couple more guys. Jeremy Turner says, I'm most nervous about Barkley coming out of the backfield as two of the biggest runs this year on Michigan defense were up the middle. They have to keep the run option in check. Jeremy, that's a great point. And I cited those the other day, actually, when I wrote about it. Morgan Ellison's 31-yarder and Madre London's 50-yarder. Those are really the only two big runs that we've seen broken against Michigan's defense all year. So... Eric313 says, Penn State will definitely try to get mismatches on Mike McCray. Our coaching staff needs to make sure that Devin and Leak are locked on Barkley and Trace at all times. I think that's the idea. They will be critically important, Jim Harbaugh said Monday when I asked him. Shane Majewski says, it was just an idea. Zone may keep things in front of them more. Maybe just mix it in there to keep them off balance. No, absolutely, Shane. That's one of those that's like, it'll take me, I think, more than a minute, you know, and I don't want to sit here like, I mean, it would be something where I'd want to see some film Saquon versus zone and stuff instead of just throwing you out an answer. You know, I don't want to just throw out an answer. So it was a good question. I mean, I'm not I'm not saying that. I'm just saying right now, I can't give you a definitive answer. That's something I'd like to actually sit down and think about for a couple minutes. So maybe I'll do that later on, and then I'll tweet you, and I'll tweet you some clips, because I'll watch some Barkley highlights against zone defense in the red zone and see if I can find those. And then I'll be able to give you an answer based off what I've seen from them, and then I'll tweet you the video clips. Does that work? Hopefully it does. All right. Marcel Woods, I think last year plays apart mentally. They all had the offensive power last year, and Don Brown helped them and kept them in check, especially if we say this defense is better. Well, Marcel, that was really early in the year too, right? I mean, wasn't that? That was like the fourth game of the year. I mean, this Penn State offense is pretty good. It really is. I think, I mean, last week, you know, I think some of you guys were asking, should they, you know, worry a little bit about Indiana? I said, yeah. Because I thought it'd be a Purdue-type game. Ultimately, Michigan's defense, you know, 24-10. Indiana with a late spurt. Penn State is a team that's capable of much more than waiting for Michigan's defense to maybe tire a little bit. Or the tempo did affect them. It did. And Penn State's offense is the type of offense that could put together those drives whenever. So it's going to be a great matchup in terms of offensive talent versus defensive talent. And, of course, like we've said, you know, the Saquon Barkley, Devin Bush, Kalik Hudson factor, Mike Gesicki, Kalik, and Devin as well. So Mike Zabrowski says, does this game put the offense play calling on the hot seat, ignoring Leak Demon at this point? I've been doing that. Leak Demon, come on, man. McSorley, a better runner passer than Brian Lewerke? Yeah, Leoism, yes. And Lewerke's good. I like Brian Lewerke a lot. But Trace McSorley, I prefer more of a pro style quarterback who's gonna drop back. I like, I like a guy who's like a peak, like when Wilton Spate is at his peak. I like that style of a quarterback. Trace McSorley, not saying that I don't like the way he plays. I love the way that he plays. If I want that type of quarterback, Trace McSorley is the guy that I want, if that makes sense. Speaking Big Ten, we're keeping in the Big Ten. All right, guys, any other questions, comments? I want to remind everyone, I'll have this Michigan feature. I haven't decided what I'm going to write yet. For tomorrow, I have a couple options, but that'll be up on FanRag Sports at FanRag underscore you at FanRag Sports and FanRagSports.com. I'll also tweet it from my account at AdamBiggers81. You guys can find the podcast on Twitter at Mitten Sports MI. Search Facebook Sports in the Mitten, like, and let's see what else. My YouTube channel, like, subscribe, share, all that stuff. And again, guys, I'll have all kinds of more Penn State versus Michigan. I'm running out of gas here, I'm sorry. And for Thursday, Friday, I'll have a follow-up column Sunday of all types of stuff. And again, guys, I just want to leave you with this today. I know, how do I say it? Even a loss at Penn State, and I'm trying, I feel like I've had to serve as counselor a little bit to some, like, Michigan fans have been so overreactionary this year. It blows my mind. So I want to leave you with a couple questions, and we'll pick up on it next time. A, would another coaching staff be 5-1 with everything in front of them? Offensive struggles, your starting quarterback goes down, offensive line issues, bad route running, miscommunication with wide receivers. There's been some just heinous drops. Would another coaching staff be 5-1 with this team? I want to ask you that. And B, even if Michigan does lose this weekend at Penn State 5-2, the season is not just declared dead at that point. And I know a lot of you guys will think so. I know some of the players, that they realize Big Ten championship is probably out the window. But the people who are saying, well, there's nothing to lose, and the people are saying there's nothing to lose right now. I want you guys to think about that. And then we'll talk about it next podcast. So would another coaching staff be 5-1 given all these circumstances? And B, even should Michigan lose this weekend, is the season lost? Big Ten championships lost, but is the season lost? Thanks again for watching, guys. I'm Adam Biggers. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. I enjoyed the discussion today. As always, we'll talk next time.